Okay, we want to continue looking at the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. We've been looking at many things that are included in this commandment, and we've come to marriage, and once again, God's standard is found in Genesis 2, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Christ, again, just by way of review, if we turn over to Matthew 19, reiterated this standard in Matthew 19, verse 5 and 6, and he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, they are no more two, but one flesh. So God states a standard, Christ reiterates it. We see that we have seen so far that God's standard is male and female, born, created, male and female, that it is monogamous, wife is singular, that it is a relationship that supersedes the closest of relationships, that is, a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, so that marriage supersedes the relationship between parent and child. A lot of parents would do well to remember that, and children would also do well to remember that. If you have marital difficulties, don't go running to mom and dad. You left them, and now you are to cleave, and husband and wife might get over it, but mom and dad might not, and now you've got other problems. We see it's a union. Two shall become one. The Bible teaches that it's a permanency, which we've looked at. Only death, in God's eyes, dissolves the marriage. The marriage can be dissolved on earth, but in God's eyes, it's still in effect. Again, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So man is able to put asunder, but again, death is the only thing that dissolves marriage. We also see that from Malachi that this marriage is based on a promise to one another. In Matthew chapter 19, the Pharisees asked a question. The purpose of asking the question was to an attempt to trap Jesus Christ, which of course they could not do. Is it, in verse 3, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause or for any reason? In answering the question, Christ reaffirmed the plan for marriage there in verses 4 through 6. He then, at the latter part of verse 6, said, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They responded, verse 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And then we see in creation, Genesis 2, there was no allowance made for divorce. But later on with Moses, there was an allowance made. And this is what the Pharisees are referring to. Verse 8, Jesus answered the question. Again, the question is, why did Moses command to give a writing of divorcement? That is, why did Moses make an allowance for divorce? And most people aren't going to like his answer. Verse 8, he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered or permitted you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. So for whatever reason, Moses, whatever clarifiers there are in Moses' law concerning divorce, no matter what the reason is, and there is only one clarifier, and we'll get to that, but even if there were several clarifiers, it still comes back to, for the hardness of your heart, for the hardness of your heart. So, if you go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, Christ speaking, Sermon on the Mount, he addresses the subject of adultery. And in verse 32, he says, But I say unto you, well, let's read verse 31. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Now, if a man puts away his wife or vice versa, why did they do that? Because of the hardness of your heart. Because of the hardness of your heart. Now, I realize people will make a list of all the reasons why they did what they did concerning divorce. But you make all the reasons you want, it still comes back to because of the hardness of your heart. Verse 33, But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. So I want to look at this subject of divorce. We see there's a clarifier. Whosoever shall put away his wife, saving or except for the cause of fornication. Matthew 19 and verse 9, Whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication. So there is a clarifier. And there's only one clarifier given in Scripture. And that is fornication. The only one. Now again, the subject of divorce is an emotional subject. And has with all emotional subjects, you must, in order to see clearly, you must put aside your emotions. You do not, under any circumstances, no matter what we're dealing with, you do not adjust God's word to your circumstances. You do not adjust God's word to your feelings. It's very dangerous. But that's the tendency when you deal with an emotional subject. So the clarifier is fornication. The clarifier is not adultery. And that's what most in Christendom, and even those in some in our fellowship, they make fornication and adultery equal. They're not the same thing. We saw this way back when we first started looking at the seventh commandment. Adultery is consensual sexual relations between a married man and someone other than his wife, or between a married woman and someone other than her husband. So adultery is an act that married persons commit. It is a sinful act that married people commit with somebody other than their spouse. But the clarifier is not adultery. The clarifier is fornication. Now, fornication is consensual. Again, in both cases, it's consensual. If it's not consensual, it's rape. That's a different subject. But here it's consensual sexual relations between unmarried persons. Fornication and adultery are not equal. The majority of Christendom believe that the New Testament makes allowance for divorce for at least one cause. Now, most, of course, believe that they've come up with other causes now as well. But most will point to the Scriptures and say there's one cause, and that is adultery. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The clarifier is fornication. And their supposed authority for this position, they will say something like this: she is free to marry because her husband cheated, or vice versa. So therefore they are free to marry. That is the clarifier. But that's not what it says. That now man has interjected his opinion. She's been done wrong. Again, in the case of adultery, now you've got emotions involved. I mean, when someone is unfaithful in marriage, now emotions are involved, and now you, once again, you have an emotional subject. But for their supposed, for their position, their scripture is Matthew 5, verse 32, Matthew 19, verse 9, scriptures that we just read, saving for the cause of fornication, except it be for fornication. So once again, the clarifier is fornication. Now, if fornication, and it is something that takes place between unmarried people, then this is something that took place before marriage. This is something that takes place before marriage and needs to be viewed in the context of what Moses allowed, because that's the question. So that takes us back to, we need to find out, well, what are they referring to that Moses allowed this? Well, that takes us back to Deuteronomy 24, if we go there. And remember that this precept and even the clarifier is given because of the hardness of hearts. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, when a man taketh a wife, okay, that would be what we call the wedding. When a man taketh a wife and married her, That, now, if you keep a mark there and turn to Matthew 1, verse 18, that's the equivalent, of Matthew 1, verse 18 concerning Mary and Joseph before they were come together. That speaks of the marriage, the consummation of the marriage, before they were come together. They were a spouse. They had not yet come together. So there's a time factor. When a man taketh a wife, back in Deuteronomy 24, and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, and here's why: because he hath found some uncleanness in her. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Again, they have not yet come together. The marriage has not yet been consummated in the marriage bed. He has found that there is uncleanness in her that took place before they came together. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement, again, there's the hardness of heart, the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, when sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So, the time factor is immediately after taking a wife, but before the marriage is consummated. Now, it's important that we have some knowledge here of Jewish custom, which takes us back to the law of Moses, and we can see this custom throughout the Word of God. And we need to see this in order to understand the clarifying statement of Christ, except it be for fornication. So the Jews had the custom of betrothal, which was an essential preliminary to marriage, though it was distinct from marriage. The future couple was espoused by their fathers. Again, the marriages were arranged by their fathers, usually by some type of marriage agreement or contract. This agreement or contract was binding upon the future couple. They're not married, but this contract was binding upon this future couple. And when both were old enough, the marriage was consummated in the marriage bed. Now we see in Deuteronomy 24 in verse 1, he hath found some uncleanness in her. So this couple that has, their fathers have signed a marriage agreement, contract. The time comes, they are going to be husband and wife. They go to the house, and as the marriage was about to be consummated, he finds that she has had sexual relations before that time. Finding that out, he is able, he is permitted to break off the contract. And in that case, both are free to remarry. But again, this is not adultery. This is fornication. And the word uncleanness, again, he hath found some uncleanness in her. The word uncleanness in the Hebrew is the word erva, and throughout the Old Testament refers to sexual intercourse. In the case of Deuteronomy 24, this has reference to fornication. It is the same word translated nakedness in Leviticus 18, where man is instructed not to uncover the nakedness of mother, father, sister, brother, and aunt, uncle, and on it goes. And it's talking, of course, about sexual intercourse. When a man had married a wife and come in unto her, the consummation of the marriage, found out that she was not a virgin as was promised, Moses authorized divorcement. The contract can be broken. This is the only provision. This is the only provision for divorce. Put it in modern day terms, man and a woman have a marriage ceremony here at church. They go to their honeymoon night, and it is found out that she or he, whatever the case may be, is not a virgin. You can break it off. Now, of course, nowadays, well, we don't need to go there. But this was the only provision for divorce. It was immediately after the wedding, before consummation. Divorce, in other words, was only for the betrothal period before the marriage was consummated. Reference is made to this custom. Notice in Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22, verse 13 through verse 21. If any man take a wife and go in unto her, that's talking about consummating the marriage, and hate her. So this individual finds that there's uncleanness. And give occasions of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. So here's a situation where they go to the house, the marriage has been performed, and the man basically has decided, I don't like this woman. I don't like her. So he's going to spread the word that she's committed fornication. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the token of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. He says he is lying. Here is proof that my daughter is a virgin. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of that city shall take that man, the one who has made a false accusation just because he wants to get out of this marriage, and chastise him. And they shall immerse him or fine him 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. So in this case, here's someone who just wants to get out of the contract. So he says, though it's not true, he says, she's not a virgin. Therefore, I am free to give her, write her a bill of divorcement. And he shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. Now, this marriage has gotten off to a rocky start. But they were not allowed. I mean, here's a man who has lied on his spouse, would-be spouse, and Moses says they have to, because she wasn't guilty of fornication, they had to stay together. Because the only clarifier is fornication. But if the thing be true, okay, man makes an accusation, and it's true. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore by committing fornication in her father's house, so thou shalt put evil away from among you. If a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, now that's adultery. This is a completely different subject, fornication, adultery. But again, we see there was only one reason for divorce. Fornication. Not adultery. Verse 22, he begins the subject of adultery. Two separate things. Fornication and adultery. In the case of adultery, again, keep in mind why the writing of divorcement was given, for the hardness of your heart. In the case of adultery, There is to be forgiveness. There is to be reconciliation. If husband or wife commits adultery, that does not give you the right to divorce. You are commanded to reconcile. You are commanded to forgive. Now, there are people who have already set the parameters, who will say, well, if she commits adultery or if he commits adultery, there's no way I'm staying with him. I could never forgive that. Well, you're commanded to. And the reason you don't is because of the hardness of your heart. Now, a scriptural example of this precept, again, is Joseph and Mary. You see, Joseph and Mary, the story of Joseph, if you turn to Matthew 1, the story of Joseph and Mary does not make sense if you do not understand the precept of Moses. But understanding the precept of Moses, you see a wonderful illustration of that precept. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. There was an agreement. Mary and Joseph would be married. They were espoused. Notice what it says. Before they came together. That speaks of the consummation of the marriage. Before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Let's just say, read the first part of that. She was found with child. Now, if you were Joseph, what would you assume? You would assume that she's been unfaithful. Keep in mind, they're not married. They were espoused before they came together. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded. That is, he was thinking about putting her away and doing so in a private manner. He had the right to do that. Because he thinks that she has committed fornication. But while he thought on these things, God intervenes. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now you want to talk about faith. Mary has not committed a sexual act. She's pregnant. But she has not committed a sexual act. Who's going to believe that? Joseph did. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Mary was a spouse, was promised to Joseph before they came together, before the consummation. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was going to put her away, that is, divorce her. Why? Because he thought he had found uncleanness or fornication in her. But the Holy Spirit of God intervened, Matthew 1 verse 20, assuring him that there was no uncleanness in Mary, that she had remained faithful to him. So that illustrates Deuteronomy chapter 24. Jesus taught in Matthew 19 and verse 6 that the marriage union between a husband and a wife is not to be broken or dissolved by man. Again, the only cause that Christ gives is fornication. And that's not adultery. Now, there are people, the list is long today, of course, and I'm talking about Christendom. Well, if there is physical or emotional abuse, that person is free to divorce and free to marry. That's not in Scripture. That is an emotional response. No one wants to think about a woman being abused, and especially if you're the mother or the father. So you begin, this is an emotional thing. She's being abused. This is not fair. Now emotions have gotten involved and people start adjusting the Scriptures to fit. Don't do that. Just, there's one clarifier. Fornication. fornication. So should you tell someone who's being abused, you need to divorce him? No, you shouldn't. Perhaps separation is necessary. But there's two different things, separation and divorce. Separation, by law, you cannot marry another. Divorce does what? It frees you up to marry another. Frees you up to marry another in the laws of man. So, we are not to allow, let not man put asunder. That is, any man, any person, let them not put asunder that marriage. Let not any government, let not any court put asunder that marriage. Now, the very statement implies that they are able to do that, but we are not to allow them to do that. So, what Jesus teaches here in Matthew 19:6 reveals the union, sadly, can be broken. But, that being said, the Lord teaches, Romans 7, 1 Corinthians 7, that only death dissolves the marriage. So that brings us to the next step, which we'll look at next week. And that, of course, is the subject of remarriage. And this is where people have even gone more astray than they do considering the subject of divorce. And once again, it is an emotional subject that once again we have to lay aside all emotions, whether it be son or daughter, grandchild, doesn't matter. All emotions have to be laid aside and just look at what God's Word says. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for, again, your word. We thank you, Lord, for the instruction that you do give us on all subjects. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we pray that you would give us understanding of your word. We pray, Lord, that you would just lead and guide us as we look at your word. And we pray today, Lord, that you would help us to worship you in a way that would honor you, way that would glorify you. And we pray, Lord, for each child of God, that you would draw us closer to thee. And Lord, for those that are lost, we pray that you would speak to their hearts and open their hearts to salvation. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.